Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel from Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. This is God's word. This morning, I want to invite you to use your imagination a little bit. And I want to ask you, if you were a Bible tourist, where would you go? And what I mean is this. If you had the ability to step into a time machine and be transported anywhere in the accounts of the Bible and be there for it, where would you go? Well, a wise one might be Garden of Eden. That would be, you know, paradise. Good place to be. Of course, we are so imperfect. I don't know if the perfect holy garden where the sinless Adam and Eve lived. Now we probably couldn't even enjoy that, right? It'd be nice to go to Easter, huh? The resurrection, Jesus risen from the dead. That would be a great one. Or how about being there as Jesus feeds the 5,000, or as he raises Lazarus from the dead? Or standing at the foot of Mount Sinai as God was in the cloud on top of the mountain delivering his word to Moses. That might be a little terrifying. St. Peter would cast his vote for the mountain of transfiguration. That's where our gospel takes place today. Peter realized it was a good thing to be on that mountain. He said it himself, "Lord, it is good that we are here." And he didn't want to leave that mountain. Peter ends up kind of putting his foot in his mouth. That's kind of what Peter does, isn't it? But we shouldn't blame Peter too much for wanting to stay on that mountaintop. He sees his Lord Jesus transfigured. It's a little bit confusing as to what that is. It says that Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes radiated with white light. You see, when Jesus came into this world, this is important. We're gonna get a little inside baseball here about theology, bare bones stuff that's important. Don't get bored by it because it's important. Jesus is both fully God and fully man. Now, when God comes in Jesus Christ, he hides himself. We call it his humiliation. Not because he's embarrassed or something. It's because he conceals his glory. You know, if you and I were to stand in the presence of God, we might think that would be a really cool thing to do. But the reality is, it would probably terrify us. I had one seminary professor once who told us, we sing about things like wanting to be with the angels, and yet if any of us saw an angel, we'd probably lose control of our bodily functions. It would terrify us so much. How much more so with God? Moses in our Old Testament reading was in the presence of God, and his face shone so bright that people could not look at him, and he needed to cover it. In Jesus, God hides himself. Jesus would have looked like any other man because he was a man who was born, lived, died, got hungry, got thirsty, grieved. He was a man, and yet a perfect man who was also God. And there on that mountain, Peter and James and John, they see it for themselves. They see the glory of God radiating from Jesus Christ. They're on top of the mountain. And God has a way of doing that on mountains. Another little word for you guys to learn today. The word I want you to take with you is theophany. A theophany is a revealing of God by himself. When he shows himself, shows who he is, shows his glory. Moses encountered a theophany of God on the top of Mount Sinai. He couldn't even look God in the face, we know. Just being in his presence caused him to radiate light himself. And God is constantly doing this on mountaintops in the Bible. The mountaintop is the place where God shows himself. So think back. Here's another little Bible tourism escapade we'll take. Real quickly, the mountains of the Bible. Mount Ararat, the mountain where the ark came to rest. Some people think that ark is still on that mountain in eastern Turkey today. On that mountain, God promised Moses he would never, ever destroy the earth by means of a flood again. He revealed himself to God as a God of grace and love and promise. Mount Sinai, we heard about in our Old Testament reading, where God came down and revealed his word, his Torah, to Moses and Israel. Later on, when the Israelites would move into the promised land, they would build their temple on a hill in Jerusalem they call Mount Zion. The temple was the place where God dwelled with his people. That's why they brought their sacrifices there. Later on, book of 1 Kings, Elijah does battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And there God reveals that he is the one true God. And there are no false gods. They have no power. They have no ability. God revealed himself on the mountain. You have Jesus teaching the crowds on the Mount of Olives. The word that became flesh speaking to God's people. It's good to be on the mountain. And Peter realized that. You see, we're a people who want mountaintop moments. Where God has a theophany. Where he reveals himself. I'll bet most of you can look back at certain points in your lives. You can think of those high points in your lives. Those moments that you celebrated, you gave thanks to God for his blessings and his mercies. Those moments that just stand out. The birth of your children. Marrying your spouse. Seeing your child graduate. Birth of grandchildren. Oftentimes, births and weddings, so those celebrations are high points in our lives. You might have had an experience where someone was sick and yet they were healed. Or something that seemed impossible found a resolution, and it seemed that it could only be by the hand of God that that happened. We love those moments. They're mountaintop moments. Moments where it seems as though God is showing who he is. But so much of life is not like that. So much of our lives, we're left wondering, God, where are you? When we know someone who's sick and they don't seem to be getting better. When the fractures in our families seem too difficult to repair. When we see the hatred and division in our country, in our communities, where if you don't vote the right way, someone doesn't like you. When we see people dying of natural disaster or the latest outbreak like coronavirus. So much of our lives are lived not on top of the mountain, but down in the shadows where we struggle to see God. We struggle to see his love. We struggle to see him at work. Peter wanted to stay on the mountaintop, but Jesus knew that he had to go down the mountain. You see, Jesus being transfigured is meant to illuminate what Jesus is about to do. Jesus shines with the glory of God. He converses with Moses and Elijah, the two greatest characters of the Old Testament. They're on a personal basis, first name with Jesus. He knows them. He speaks with them. Jesus is God and shines with the full brightness and glory of God. And what does that Jesus do? He goes down the mountain into the valley of the shadow of death to die. To die for you. You see, this is important. That you know, when Jesus died on the cross, God died for you. That's who died for you. The God of heaven and earth was nailed to a cross, bowed his head and died. And blood and water poured forth from his side for you. That was God that did that. You see, life is not lived all on mountaintops where God is doing amazing things that we can always see and we're always aware that everything is wonderful and God's glory shines. Because you see, it is the glory of God. It is his glory to die for his people. He reveals that he is there in the shadows, in the difficult moments, in the grief, in the pain, in the shame. Where there is sin, that's where he makes his home. Don't we say it in Psalm 23 when we say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Your Lord Jesus is with you in every valley and shadow of death in your life. Jesus is there. Jesus is there to say, "I have taken this on my body and died for it." And just so you know, dear Christian, that I, Jesus, have the power to do this, look to the mountaintop where you see my glory, where you see I shine with the full glory of God. So that when I go to the cross, you know I am powerful to take your sin and put it to death. It's said that life is a series of hills and valleys, peaks and valleys. We could say mountaintops and valleys. We could single out the mountaintops, and probably for most of us, they're fewer and farther between than we would like. But you know, Jesus is in all of them. He is with you and gives his life for you no matter the circumstance, no matter how dark the shadows of death seem to be in that valley. You know, when all is said and done, there is another mountain that the Bible speaks of. There's several others. But the mountain that is spoken of in the book of Isaiah, it's also called Mount Zion, but it's not the temple in Jerusalem. It's the New Jerusalem. It's heaven. It's described as Mount Zion. I want you to listen to how the prophet Isaiah describes heaven as a mountain. He says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Heaven is described as a mountain, a place where the Lord feeds us, a feast like no other. And Isaiah talks about the veil that is spread over all nations. It's death. Remember how the Israelites couldn't look at Moses in our Old Testament reading? They had to cover Moses' face because he had seen God, and the brightness from his face was too much for them to bear. Well, heaven is the place where the veil is torn away because death is swallowed up and there is nothing to separate you from God. There is nothing to keep you from being on the mountaintop forever. Our Lord does give us a bit of a mountaintop experience this morning. He invites us to come and taste his glory as he reveals himself in bread and wine. He hides himself. The bread and the wine will not cause your face to shine, but the body and blood will do exactly what God does. Ensure his presence with you in the valley of the shadow of death. You've probably noticed we live in a world that's falling apart. It's dying. Death is everywhere we look. Jesus brings light into darkness, life where there is death. And to you and I who walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we come and Jesus is revealed to us, given in bread and wine with his very body and blood, that we might taste and see that the Lord is good, and that we might say, Lord, it is good that we are here because our Lord Jesus is here. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.